My name is Denise Balsh, and I'd like to welcome you to the next in our Simplified Prior Authorization podcast series, Improving the Reimbursement Roadmap. Today, I am joined by Alan Birch, the Associate Director of Provider Solutions at Centrex and the founder of Drug Access Canada. Alan is also a contributing member of the Simplified Prior Authorization Initiative, and he started his career as a pharmacy technician, which led him to a role as a drug access navigator at North York General Hospital, where he worked with oncologists and their patients to expedite access to medications requiring prior approval through public and private drug plans. Alan is a former president of the Drug Access Navigator Association in Ontario, ODANO. He also created the drugaccess.ca website, which provides resources for patients and healthcare providers. Most recently, Alan has taken on a new role with Centrex in the last couple of years, and Centrex is a patient support program that works with manufacturers, healthcare providers, and patients. He has also recently authored our February SPA blog, which you can find on the simplifiedprioroth.ca website. Today, we will be talking about how the complexities of the reimbursement landscape impact patients and what tools are available to make it easier for patients and healthcare providers to access care. So, Alan, thanks again for joining me. Very much appreciate you spending time with me today.
Thanks, Denise. Happy to be here.
Alan, you've joined us before, as I just mentioned, on our podcast, and you've talked about some of the reimbursement challenges around specialty drugs and prior authorization. Today, perhaps you can share what led you to becoming such a passionate advocate for improving the reimbursement journey for oncology and patients who are prescribed high-cost specialty drugs that require prior auth.
For sure. So, as you mentioned, in my previous role, I was the drug access navigator at a hospital here in Toronto. So my day-to-day was spent supporting patients getting through the different barriers to cover their drugs. So connecting them with patient support programs, filling out prior auth forms, doing follow-ups and appeals, things like that. And patients would often comment to me about how complicated all of this was. Patients who said, you know, I'm quite savvy. I have a PhD or I have a master's degree, and this is very complicated. Why are there so many steps to getting my drug? Why are there so many forms? Why am I waiting so long? I have cancer. You know, why do I have to wait weeks for this drug to be approved? You know, and I would have to just explain to them that's how our system is set up. You have to wait until it's approved. It might take 2 or 3 weeks, but until then, that's the reality. That's how everything has been set up. So, just hearing this for so long, it really led to helping create this website, ODANO, ODANO, .ca. We built it to provide a lot of the answers that we were giving patients as drug access navigators. Like, if you call your insurance, these are the questions you should ask. Is my drug covered? Do I have a maximum on my plan? There's a lot of little tips and tricks for patients so that they can understand what to do. You know, just to empower them as well. I also started giving educational talks to patient groups, to pharma, just to anyone really to help them understand what patients go through, the stress and the worry that the patients would tell me about. When they're waiting to get their cancer drug, you know, patients would tell me, I'm just sitting here shaking, terrified that, you know, what if they say no and I don't get my drug? What if they deny my special authorization request? What am I supposed to do? Am I going to die? Right? Like they would ask these questions. So it was really about how can we provide peace of mind to patients and just help them understand so they can get through this process as best as possible.
Yeah, those are some really tough questions to be asked when you don't have the answers. And as we were speaking about in our prep call, you know, you get quite involved with some of these patients. You'll be seeing some of these patients for years. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So we would have patients diagnosed with some chronic cancers like multiple myeloma. They would come into the cancer clinic every month for years. Like these are cancers that are very well treated because they have so many different options nowadays. But you get really attached to these patients when you see them for 5, 6, 7 years. And it's really sad when they're struggling. You really build a rapport with them. I think you know, any pharmacist or nurse, the oncologist, they would all agree you have these patients you see for such a long period of time. And when they're stressed out and worrying, like you really do take that personally.
Yeah, absolutely. In your recent blog for the Simplify Prior Auth Initiative, you spoke about the role of DANs, Drug Access Navigators, and Patient Support Programs, PSPs. How do these roles differ? Because they both have a role with patients, but how do they differ and how are they the same? Because that I think that could be confusing for somebody that doesn't work in this space all the time.
Yeah, that is a great question. So if you don't work really like in the oncology space or in the right part of oncology, you might not know what a drug access navigator is, especially since it has so many different titles like drug access facilitator and medication reimbursement specialist and all sorts of different names. But you might be familiar with the case managers that work on patient support programs, and it makes sense to think they're the same, but there are key differences. So a drug access navigator is working alongside the doctors in the office, in the cancer clinic, and whatever is thrown at them, like whatever drug is needed for the patient, they're supporting that. So in oncology, that can be over 100 drugs, and it's up to you to know how to get them all the programs associated with them all. And when a patient ends a particular drug and then go on to something else, you're supporting them with whatever they need. So you're supporting them from diagnosis right up to their last line of therapy. And you see patients, like we mentioned, for years sometimes. So with a case manager on a PSP, they're usually just helping with one drug or two drugs that are part of a patient support program. And if a patient goes on to another therapy, they don't communicate with them anymore. They're only helping with that one drug while they're on it. So there's a key difference at the touch points, like a case manager is seeing them in a short amount of time, maybe at the beginning of treatment, and maybe when their special authorization is due for renewal, and that's it. Whereas the DAN is with them continuously for years. So there's similarities, like they're both tasked with helping a patient get on treatment, covering the cost of their drug. They have the same end goal, but they're also acutely different in how often they see the patient, their day-to-day with the patient. And the DAN is in person, for example, case managers are typically remote, right? So those are sort of some of the key differences, but their goals are the same.
Okay. And would you as a DAN work with a PSP or refer a patient to a PSP? How does that work, particularly when there's, in some cases, some compassionate access to medications?
So yeah, it is the DAN who enrolls patients into a PSP, and then the case manager supports them as well. So they kind of tag team, they work together to get the patients on compassionate drug or what other services are needed.
Okay, good. Thank you. So the role of DANs, I've come across this a couple of times, and I know in our discussions, you've mentioned it. The role of DANs has been expanding into other chronic disease areas. So those of us that have been familiar with DANs traditionally, we've always thought about their role in oncology because it is such a complex area from a treatment perspective. But I understand they're going into other disease areas that have a prior authorization requirement attached to them. So can you just talk to that a little bit so that, you know, as advisors and plan sponsors that may be listening to this, so that if they are asked to, you know, what's going on or, you know, how can they help, that they're aware that their employee may be seeing a DAN?
Mm-hmm. So that's been really interesting, actually. So the DAN role kind of started in oncology. There was the most obvious need there, like years ago, probably almost 20 years ago now, because the drugs are just routinely expensive. They're needed quickly, and they're complicated. So the DAN role just organically started there, and it made obvious sense. Patients need to navigate the system. And when you're diagnosed with cancer, it's something that you can't necessarily figure out on your own really quickly. So it was just very logical. And as other areas started to see this role, supporting patients, being cost-effective by not having the physician filling out these forms, doing a lot of this administrative work, we've actually seen DANs popping up in neurology, so supporting multiple sclerosis. There's stands in cystic fibrosis, rare disease, and kidney failure, like in the nephrology space. So in hospitals still, just like the oncology DANs, but these are areas where there's been innovations with new drugs, high cost drugs, like you said, they need prior authorization. And this is just the natural progression. Like DANs are now supporting these other areas. They're experts in navigating the system and helping patients get on drug quicker. They cost a lot less than having a physician fill out forms, right? So as long as the disease area or the clinic manager, whoever the case may be, understands like this makes a lot of sense and they're aware that the role exists, it's been great to see the expansion of this. We know in oncology that when you see a navigator, patients are happier and they get on drug quicker. So it's nice that we can help patients with neurological disorders or with a rare disorder not have to struggle, right? Like it's nice that patients in these other areas can also get support, get on drug quicker, and face less barriers. So if you are a patient in these other areas or you're working for an insurer, you know, it's important to know that there might be a DAN in these other clinics, in these other areas. But again, they might not be called a drug access navigator. It might be a nurse who's filling in this role. It could be various different titles as well. But there probably is hopefully somebody who's at least supposed to be helping specifically with drug coverage and getting to a PSP and helping make sure that patients are connected to all the right programs. So it's not as clear cut. Like if you ask a clinic, do you have a drug access navigator? You might say, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But they actually do have somebody called a reimbursement specialist or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it can even be a pharmacist.
It could be a pharmacist. It could be somebody else. So that's a little bit of a problem with the nomenclature. Like this DAN role is a very obvious title in oncology, but it might exist elsewhere under different names.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. So if someone is struggling and they go to their employer or advisor, or they're, you know, they're obviously having issues, then it's important to ask if, you know, if they do have somebody working on their behalf within the hospital to help them navigate the reimbursement process. So that's great.
Yeah.
You also referred in your recent piece for us to the bridging of drugs through patient support programs. Now, I'm not sure that those of us in the benefits field would understand right away what bridging is, but it's often used until patients have coverage from a long-term source. So maybe you can go into bridging a little bit more and talk to why it's become such an essential part of drug access in Canada.
Yes, so that's probably number one or number two of the most key offerings of patient support programs. So with the delays that we get with waiting for prior auth to be approved, whether it's for a private or a public insurer, these patient support programs will often provide bridging drugs. So they'll give free supply for a month or 2 months until the patient has secured that source of coverage. So maybe they're waiting for their prior auth to be approved, or they're waiting for approval from the Trillium drug program in Ontario, like whatever the case may be. So they provide these short-term bridging options so patients can start right away. And in oncology, especially, starting therapy right away is very critical. I've had patients who would maybe get one or two doses of a drug and pass away, or even pass away before they start treatment because their cancer was so far along. So anything that causes a delay in starting treatment can be very harmful. So bridging is critical in the oncology space, but also in other disease areas where waiting a month or two is too long. It's too harmful to wait. But there's also another part of bridging, which is, I don't think it gets enough recognition. When Health Canada approves a drug for use and they get notice of compliance, it's usually about 2 years before the provinces start paying for it. So this is also where bridging drug is provided by these patient support programs. So it's not 1 or 2 months, but it's up to 2 years of free drug. And it costs these manufacturers millions of dollars to set up these programs and give free drug to all of these patients needing the therapy while we wait for the provinces to review the product and eventually add it to their formularies. So I don't know if there's a lot of negative attention to manufacturers, but it's something that they do provide in oncology regularly, helping hundreds of patients when a drug comes out, giving them free therapy for years, because it just takes so long to get through the regulatory process in this country. So it's another really critical service. Patients wouldn't get this drug if it wasn't for the bridging being provided by a PSP. So it's that is really, really important for patient support programs in the oncology space. But we do sometimes see where there's less incentive to approve a drug if the manufacturer is giving it out for free. So there's a little bit of a tug of war, like if the manufacturer is giving it out for free, why should I take that on? I'm going to kind of put it a little lower on my list to review because patients are okay. So the manufacturers and payers are kind of in this tug of war of, well, I'm only going to give the drug out for free for so long. Eventually you're going to have to take it on and pay for it, right? But then the payers kind of don't want to pay for it at the same time. So there's a little bit of a battle going on there.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, on the public side, it can take 2 years. It increasingly can take a long time for insurers, private payers, to review and approve drugs for reimbursement. So I think that it's an issue on both sides, public and private. Yeah. So can you tell us why you originally developed Drug Access Canada? Because I know you've done some new stuff with Drug Access Canada and there's more available, but let's start with kind of why you started it in the first place and what resources were originally available on the site and who the audience was for the site.
For sure. So as I mentioned before, the Odano website was made to provide resources for patients. So if you're a cancer patient, there's a lot of tips and tricks to help patients understand and get through things. Drug Access Canada's focus is healthcare professionals. So it's a little bit of a different approach. The hope with Drug Access Canada is, you know, if we can educate healthcare providers, then they can help their patients. There's less healthcare providers to reach than there are patients. So it kind of hoping that it would be a little bit more efficient to educate the healthcare providers, but you have to educate everyone ultimately. So DAC, the Drug Access Canada website, has a database of patient support programs. It has a lot of enrollment forms for all the different cancer drugs, their criteria. So it lets DANZ know, or, you know, whatever the role may be, what's available. You can just type in a drug, see if there's a program available for it. And then you can get the enrollment form from the website, from the database, and get your patient supported. What happens sometimes is there's a program and a healthcare provider doesn't know that it's available. So the patient doesn't get enrolled, right? It's easy to miss when there are 100 programs. So this is a way of consolidating that and making sure that if you've never seen this drug or heard of this program before, you can still know that it's available and you can still help your patient. In addition to that, we've also partnered with OKRX. So they're an online platform that allows electronic patient support program enrollments. So with the Drug Access Canada website, HCPs can choose, do I want to print out the form and enroll my patient, or do I want to do it electronically? And we've also put in training modules for healthcare providers so they can understand reimbursement and navigating insurance. So it's geared towards HCPs instead of patients. Everyone's welcome to do it though. Everything on the website's free. And when you're done the training modules, you even get a certificate to show that you've finished it. So it's really, it's a great option for anyone interested.
Fantastic. So right now, as you said, the Drug Access Canada is mostly for healthcare practitioners. And that would include their admin staff and anybody that's helping to complete those forms.
Yeah, exactly. So the PSP forms, they need to be usually signed off by a physician. Yeah. And they usually have a prescription component to them. So a patient wouldn't be able to use them on their own. It's something they could take to their doctor. But with the Drug Access Canada site, it's really geared towards the doctors and DANZ, pharmacists, nurses themselves, so that they have those resources available.
And most recently, you mentioned in our prep for this call that you formed an alliance with Haven by Centrix. So can you explain Haven and the reimbursement issue that it addresses?
For sure. So Haven is a patient support program operated at Centrix, and it's a hub program. So it's a single PSP. It's like a basket of programs combined into one. So medications for multiple manufacturers, and this is in contrast to typical PSPs where it's just the drugs from that particular drug manufacturer. So like one drug, two drugs. Haven instead supports multiple manufacturers with dozens of drugs. And the point of this is that if, as a healthcare provider or as a patient, you just have one point of contact instead of two or three when you're on multiple medications. And this is very common in the oncology space. So for a drug access navigator, for example, you just have one enrollment form, one point of contact. So if a patient has three drugs, and we've seen this where patients has two cancers, for example, they might have leukemia and prostate cancer. So they could be on three cancer drugs at once. And that normally would mean three patient support programs, three case managers, three drug deliveries. But with something like Haven, where they're all combined, it's just one point of contact. It's just a single program, one delivery, right? Like it just keeps everything streamlined. And you're just helping the patient. The patient needs three drugs, so the program helps with those three drugs or whatever the case may be. It's really about cutting down on a lot of the extra that patients don't need, HCPs don't need. They want to get on drug quickly and seamlessly. If the drug's from three manufacturers, a doctor doesn't care about that. They just want one and done. My patient needs these three things. Why are they being treated separately? So Haven really combines all of that and makes it as efficient and streamlined as possible.
Okay. So yeah, and you definitely see a pattern to your work in terms of
Yeah, it's all about consolidation.
consolidation, putting things online, making it easier. And that kind of is a great segue into talking a little bit about the Simplified Prior Authorization Initiative, which I manage. And as people who've listened to some of our podcasts before or seen our blogs will know that we've been advocating for improvements in the prior auth process for patients and healthcare providers, primarily through the payer end. But it also includes the development of an educational website resource. We're in the process of developing industry standards or industry best practices that are coming out later on this year. So maybe you could just tell us how your opinion of how your work with Centrix and your development of Drug Access Canada fits within the SPA initiative, because from a sort of advisor or plan sponsor perspective or even a payer perspective, you're like, you may be thinking, oh my gosh, well, there's Drug Access Canada, there's there's Haven, there's the SPA initiative. Like, where does this all fit?
That's a great question, Denise. So I think they all synergistically work together. I think Drug Access Canada is a way of supporting HCPs and streamlining access to patient support programs. And SPA is really about simplifying the prior auth side of things. So these are both areas that have become complicated, and there's a lot of challenges for patients and HCPs with both of them. So I think that they work together really well. I think my support with SPA is because of my experience in drug reimbursement, working with oncology and patients, physicians for over a decade now. So I think that when it comes to industry standards that SPA is working on, that I can help make sure that they make sense, right? Like as someone who's dealt with prior auths for so long, I know what the challenges are. I know what patients have faced and the complaints that they've had for me. So if we can create industry standards that make medication access faster and easier, doing it online with electronic prior authorizations, automated decisions for very clear criteria, like the list goes on and on. things that we can do, and especially in cancer care, if we can make things quicker and easier for patients and for physicians, that's the goal, right? Like, we want to make sure that a patient who needs drug can get it as quick as possible. And in the oncology space, especially, as I mentioned, that's really critical. Waiting a week or two can be very harmful. So I'm really happy to help with SPA and getting more healthcare providers onto the Drug Access Canada site as well, just so we can help tackle this together and make things better.
Thanks, Alan. And I think that's well said. And I think it's important to note, as said, from an advisor and plan sponsor perspective, that what we're not trying to drive up their drug costs. What we can do by getting patients quicker access and on therapy more quickly is that they can get back to work more quickly, that they can, or they can stay at work as opposed to being off because they're feeling so ill. So we know that particularly in oncology, sometimes patients will need some time off because their treatments, like chemotherapy, make them unwell. But the quicker you can tackle these diseases, get people on therapy, the more likely they are to be able to stay at work long time and recover from their illness.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. So, Alan, I'd like to thank you once again for joining us and helping us with our most recent blog that you authored, and also, your work in connection with the Simplify Prior Authorization Initiative. We've got a great team, and it's great to have alliances with other people that are and organizations that are passionate about ensuring that the patient journey is as smooth as possible. The reality is nobody wants to end up with a serious chronic disease that is often life-threatening. So the better experience is to be able to help them, get on drug as quickly as possible and get on with their lives.
Exactly. Thanks so much, Denise.
Great. Thanks, Alan. Once again, you can find the Drug Access Canada site at drugaccess.ca and the Simplify Prior Authorization site, including Alan's recent blog at simplifyprioroth.ca. And we'll be bringing you more podcasts this year, including a discussion of some of the aspects of the new industry standards framework coming in 2024. So thanks again, Alan. Take care.
Thank you.